five or six. Just running around, hungry kids, sharpened sticks. And he will grow with pain and fear and jealousy, taken in by schools of zealotry who train orphans to make orphans evermore. I am the one who will remember everything.
Chapter 4. The next morning, Bucky asks about going home. Which is awkward, because Steve simultaneously thinks home doesn't exist anymore, and we are home. Bruce shrugs and admits that there's no actual reason for Bucky to stay in medical. Besides a little malnourishment, he's physically in good condition. Which is how Steve ends up taking Bucky up to the communal kitchen for breakfast. They don't do team breakfast the way they do team dinner, given that they all tend to have wildly unpredictable sleep schedules, as well as inconsistent daytime schedules. Usually, anywhere between 5 and 11 a.m., any range of the team could be in the kitchen. But when Steve and Bucky arrive, Clint, Natasha, and Thor are all going about usual breakfast activities a little too purposefully. Internally, Steve suspects that Bruce might have sent out a memo. Clint is lounging in the adjacent living room, sprawled comfortably on one of the plush couches, munching on a bowl of cereal and watching cartoons. Natasha is skillfully dicing fruit for a smoothie, while Thor is seated at the table, digging his way through a pile of waffles. Bucky falters at the threshold of the elevator. His eyes flick around the room, expression wary, and his shoulders tighten. Steve makes it 3 steps into the room before he realizes Bucky isn't following him. Steve had tried to prep Bucky before they left the med bay, telling him about the team. He'd skimmed over a few of the details, but Bucky still cackled for a full 5 minutes, wheezing, and said, "Honest to God, superheroes? Like Superman?" Bucky isn't laughing now. "You coming, Buck?" Steve prompts quietly. Thor looks up, giving them a broad grin. "There remain plenty of waffles if you desire sustenance," Thor declares, his voice booming across the room. "You weren't kidding," Bucky says faintly, staring at Thor. Steve grins a little. "This is just the beginning. Come on, let's go get some waffles." He squeezes Bucky's arm reassuringly, propelling him into the kitchen. "Natasha, Clint, Thor, this is Bucky. Be nice," Steve says firmly. Clint waves idly over the back of the couch without looking away from his cartoons. And Natasha offers Bucky a strawberry. Bucky blinks, then slowly takes it. "Thanks," he says. Steve makes them 2 plates of waffles, and Natasha deigns to share more of her strawberries. Bucky sits with 2 empty chairs between himself and Thor, eyeing the god warily, but he digs into the waffles with enthusiasm. And Steve is relieved that the doctor's concerns about Bucky's ability to eat are proving completely unfounded. Steve sits next to Bucky, filling one of the empty chairs between him and Thor, and Natasha settles on the side of the table facing them, with her smoothie and a plate of toast. Steve is halfway through his waffles, and Bucky is increasingly distracted trying to crane his head around to see the television, when Tony and Bruce walk in 15 minutes later. Their heads are bent together over a tablet, seeming unaware of the other occupants of the room. Tony had already been gone when Steve woke up that morning, so the fact that he has flecks of grease spotting his arms up to his elbows is utterly unsurprising. Tony makes a beeline for the coffee pot, while Bruce sets aside the tablet in favor of pulling a carton of eggs out of the fridge. Clint wanders back over, grabbing the entire box of Fruit Loops instead of bothering to refill his bowl.
"You don't have to go to the picture house to see cartoons anymore?"
Bucky asks, startling them all.
"Nope, we got a whole virtual library full of them,"
Clint grins. "Endless hours of mindless, brain-melting entertainment at your fingertips." Clint stops, his face twisting an expression not unlike a kid on Christmas morning.
"You don't know about Scooby-Doo!"
he exclaims, throwing his hands in the air and nearly showering the whole kitchen in Fruit Loops.
"I have so much to teach you. Come on!"
Steve gives Bucky an encouraging nod, and Bucky lets Clint propel him over to the couch, abandoning the remains of his waffles in exchange for the pile of Fruit Loops that Clint dumps in his palms. The rest of the morning is quiet. Clint plays Bucky a broad selection of cartoons spanning the entire length of the 20th century, seemingly jumping around at random. And by halfway through an episode of The Jetsons, Bucky and Clint are gleefully chucking Fruit Loops in the general direction of each other's mouths. The rest of the team cycles through the kitchen at intervals. Thor finishes his waffles at the same time Natasha finishes her smoothie, and she challenges Thor to a sparring match with a dangerous grin. Bruce lingers over his eggs, spilling several forkfuls into his lap as he switches between poking at his tablet and scribbling equations on a napkin. Tony hovers over Bruce's shoulder, commenting on his work and stealing bites of egg off of Bruce's plate whenever he is distracted enough not to notice. By lunchtime, Clint has introduced Bucky to video games. Natasha and Thor have returned from sparring, sweaty with broad grins and a few bruises, before dispersing again to spend the afternoon in other pursuits. Sam arrives with enough Chinese takeout to feed an army, which is effective in both pulling Clint and Bucky away from the TV and summoning Bruce and Tony back out of their labs. Natasha reappears long enough to grab a carton of Mushu pork before disappearing again. Bucky seems to be having the time of his life. Something between him and Clint has clicked effortlessly, and Steve is absolutely not jealous. Not at all. This is nothing like the old days. Nothing like watching Bucky charm girls while Steve is left holding up a wall and waiting for an excuse to pick a fight. Steve is relieved, frankly, that Bucky is making a new friend. Bucky needs that. He needs someone who can help pull him into the future instead of holding him back. Steve is so busy not watching Clint demonstrate how to make a tiny bow out of straws and toothpicks that he startles when Tony's hand lands on his shoulder. Tony is standing behind the armchair that Steve has been occupying for the past several hours, ostensibly reading on a tablet that he hasn't even bothered to turn on. And Tony's hand lingers, cupping the side of Steve's neck and slowly sliding across his shoulder in a way that makes Steve's breath catch. "Quit hovering, Papa Bear," Tony teases, his voice a low murmur in Steve's ear. "Let the kids play. He's doing fine." "I'm not bothering them," Steve retorts, and immediately regrets it when he realizes how petulant and defensive he sounds. Tony frowns and moves around to sit on the arm of Steve's chair, narrowing his eyes at Steve.
"Seriously," he says, with an eyebrow arched. "You need to relax."
Steve ducks his head and shifts uncomfortably, embarrassed. But he doesn't say anything, and he can't help his eyes flicking back toward Bucky for probably the 100th time in the past 10 minutes. Tony leans back and throws his hands in the air.
"That's it. I'm calling in reinforcements. Someone in this place must know how to talk reason into you."
"Seriously, I'm fine," Steve grumbles, unable to stop himself.
"I'm reading."
He stubbornly picks up his tablet again, pointedly turning it on. Tony rolls his eyes and stands.
"Whatever, sweet cheeks," he says,
Well, when you're done brooding or whatever, bring Bucky down to the workshop in a couple of hours. I should be ready to start replacing the neural relay system in his arm by then. Steve mumbles a vague assent, pulling up a news website at random and glaring at it determinedly. Tony rolls his eyes again and leaves. 18 minutes later, Steve gets a text from Sam reading, "You have 15 minutes to get your ass down to the gym, or I'm sending Natasha in to drag you there." Followed, 45 seconds later, by a text from Natasha that's just a smiley face and a knife emoji. Steve groans, tossing the tablet aside and letting his head fall forward. Natasha does not make idle threats. But going a few rounds in the gym does sound like a good idea. He takes a breath, deep enough to make his entire chest expand, and then he pushes himself to his feet. Bucky and Clint don't seem to have noticed anything. Clint is gesticulating wildly and attempting to explain the plot of Star Wars to Bucky, who's grinning in bemusement. Steve crosses the room over to them, and for all that Clint had apparently been engrossed in his conversation with Bucky, his eyes flick to Steve before Steve has made it more than a few steps, and by the time Steve reaches them, Clint has ended his tirade and flicks a peanut at Steve's face. "Hey there, Cap," Clint says, lounging back against the arm of the couch behind him as he tilts his head up to look at Steve. "You heading out to training?" Clint is all blithe innocence, and sometimes Steve forgets that one-third of his team is made up of spies.
Thinking about it," Steve says, shooting a glance at Bucky.
Bucky is looking up at Steve, a faint frown on his face, and something that looks a little like guilt.
"Well, you're going to miss out on a great movie marathon," Clint says with a sympathetic sigh. "But work is work, and you can't skip out on training."
Steve narrows his eyes at Clint. This is blatant manipulation, which is usually more Natasha's style than Clint's, who prefers a more direct approach. But presumably, this plan was hatched by Natasha with Sam's help, and Clint just got brought in on it. Bucky's lips purse, and he narrows his eyes.
"You ain't ducking out on something important to keep an eye on me, Stevie, are you?"
"Oh, that's not..." "Go, Steve, I'm fine." Bucky cuts him off before Steve can finish protesting. "Clint and I are just going to hang out and watch movies." Steve hesitates, but Clint makes a shooing motion behind Bucky's back, and Steve reluctantly nods.
"Okay, if you run into any issues or anything, Jarvis can get a hold of me."
"That sure is handy," Bucky grins, tossing a couple of peanuts into his mouth.
"See you later, Stevie."
"Yeah, okay." Steve looks back twice before the elevator doors close behind him, but Clint and Bucky have gone back to their previous conversation and don't seem to notice.
"What the hell is this?"
Steve demands as soon as he reaches the gym, where Natasha and Sam are stretching. "This is exactly the point," Natasha says calmly, stretched into a taut bridge.
"You've been getting tenser and grumpier all day, man."
Sam doesn't look up from where he's wrapping his hands.
"And that's not good for anyone."
"Look, Bucky is..." Steve tries.
"Settling in, making friends,"
Sam cuts him off.
"That's a good thing. He needs room to breathe, and you need to work out some of that tension."
Steve glowers, but he knows when he's been outmaneuvered. And, honestly, he has to admit that Sam is right.
"Fine," he grumbles. "2 hours. Then I'm going back."
"Sure thing, champ," Natasha says, standing smoothly and patting him consolingly on the shoulder. 3 hours later, Steve is sprawled out, panting on the mat, with Natasha's thighs around his neck. For the fourth time. Steve startles at the sound of a loud whistle and clapping. Natasha graciously releases him and rolls to her feet, smiling triumphantly and allowing Steve to twist around enough to see Bucky leaning against the nearest wall, a crooked grin on his face as he claps his hands together slowly. "That was one hell of a show," Bucky says, pushing away from the wall and strolling over toward the mat. "You've come a long way from getting your lights punched out in every back alley in Brooklyn," he smirks. Steve can't help the blush that rises up his neck. The best he can do is hope it's hidden under the flush of exertion. Natasha gives Steve a smirk that Bucky can't see and pats Steve's shoulder. "See you later," she says, with an entirely too knowing look, before ducking out between the ropes around the sparring ring and following Sam toward the locker rooms. "The hell did you learn to fight like that?" Bucky asks, strolling over to lean his arms on a corner post. "New Jersey, then London, Italy, Germany," Steve shrugs. "But Natasha's the one that really taught me the best moves." Steve gestures after Natasha's retreating form. "Yeah, she does seem like one hell of a dame," Bucky agrees distractedly, also glancing in the same direction. Steve snorts. "Don't let her hear you call her that," he warns with a grin. "I'll keep that in mind." Bucky boosts himself into the ring, sliding lethally between the ropes. "You think you've got another round left in you?" Bucky tilts his head invitingly, a playful smirk on his lips as he rolls his shoulders. Steve goes stiff, his gaze catching instinctively on the glint of Bucky's metal arm under the bright lights. And for a second, Steve flashes back to the helicarrier. Steve says, reluctantly. "That might not be the best idea." "Why? Don't think you can take me?" Bucky teases. He's pacing slowly closer, and Steve's stomach twists into knots until he realizes that Bucky's gait holds nothing of the predatory lope he's seen in the Winter Soldier. It's just Bucky, loose and playful. The same Bucky that had taken Steve out behind this school and taught him how to throw a punch when they were 7. The same Bucky that Steve had stood back to back with in alleys from Brooklyn to the Swiss Alps. Bucky throws a right hook at Steve, light and aimed for his shoulder. A blow that barely would have glanced him anyway. It's a test. Steve blocks the hit instinctively, falling back a step. The next punch is aimed straighter, a little harder, and Steve doesn't give ground this time. Bucky's still loose and grinning, and his moves are all back alley street brawl. Thoughts of the helicarrier flee Steve's mind, replaced instead with an appropriated boxing gym in London. "Come on, Stevie, put him up," Bucky teases, and the words echo both in Steve's ears and in his memory. Instinct takes over. With no real intent behind it, he and Bucky still flow together like they always have, a playful push and pull, trading jabs back and forth. Until Bucky does something unexpected, and so fast, Steve almost doesn't see it. Steve finds himself flat on his back with Bucky's thighs squeezing tight, and Bucky's arm a bar against his neck. Bucky's hair has fallen forward to cast a foreign shadow on his face, but the face itself is so achingly familiar, his eyes so bright and blue and alive. Steve gives in and does exactly what Bucky wants. He presses forward despite the bar against his neck and kisses Bucky soundly. Bucky groans into Steve's mouth, his arm falling away so that he can brace both hands on the mat on either side of Steve's head. Bucky's body is all lithe, solid muscle against Steve's own, his hips rolling with the motion of their kiss as he pushes his tongue into Steve's mouth. "I saw you watching earlier," Bucky draws, barely pulling away enough to whisper the words against Steve's lips. "When me and Clint were talking, you were jealous, weren't you?" There's an edge of laughter in Bucky's voice, low and teasing, He rolls his hips down against Steve pointedly, making Steve choke and groan. Steve's hands take on a mind of their own, reaching up to grip Bucky's ribs, smoothing down the lines of his body until he can slip his fingers under the hem of Bucky's shirt. Bucky's skin is hot, almost too hot against Steve's fingertips, and Steve can't get enough of it. "You know I'm all yours, babe," Bucky keeps going, his mouth moving down to work against Steve's jaw and down the line of his neck. "No one else means anything to me." Bucky's hands start to tug at Steve's shirt. The hard brush of his metal fingers are a shock, but not enough to pull Steve out of the haze of need he has fallen into. "Let me prove it to you. Let me show you how much..." He breaks off, seeming to find words superfluous as he nuzzles against the sensitive spot at the hinge of Steve's jaw. And for several long, heady minutes, Steve lets himself have it. He lets himself fall into the heat and strength of Bucky, into the taste of him and the sound of his panting breaths. And then he forces himself to pull back, resting a hand on Bucky's chest to prevent him from insisting. "We can't, Buck," he says, breathless and heavy with regret. "Not here. Not now." Bucky groans, dropping his head to rest against Steve's chest. There's a minute tremble running through Bucky's body, and his breathing isn't just heavy, it's ragged. His arms on either side of Steve's head flex, and then collapse. "Hey," Steve says quietly. He sits up, catching Bucky easily and pulling him closer. Bucky ends up half-curled in Steve's lap, but he keeps his face pressed into Steve's shoulder, and he makes a small, almost wounded sound. "Bucky?" Steve tries to push Bucky back enough to see his face, but Bucky resists, clinging to Steve tight enough to hurt. So Steve switches tactics, tightening his own arms around Bucky's shoulders instead. It only lasts a few minutes. Then Bucky is letting go, sniffing and huffing and pulling back, but still trying to keep his face hidden from Steve. "Sorry," Bucky mumbles, voice rough and raspy. "Sorry, I don't know. What the hell?" Bucky sniffs again, but Steve has had enough. He cups Bucky's chin, gently forcing his head up so that he can meet Bucky's eyes. "You got nothing to apologize for," Steve says firmly. He presses a gentle kiss to Bucky's temple, rubbing soothing circles on Bucky's back, refusing to let Bucky pull away too far. "You've had a rough couple of decades," Steve thinks. "A rough time lately," he says instead. "There's no shame in letting it out." Bucky huffs. "Didn't I used to tell you that?" he grumbles, swiping irritably at his own eyes once more. "Yeah, at least a couple of times a year," Steve agrees with a faint smile. Bucky grunts and shifts out of Steve's lap. Steve lets him go reluctantly. Bucky's eyes are red around the edges, but the evidence of his tears is otherwise mostly gone. "Guess it's only fair then," Bucky mutters. He runs a distracted hand through his hair, and Steve is relieved to see that Bucky's hand is steady and controlled once again. Tony mentioned earlier that he'd like us to come down to his workshop this afternoon," Steve says carefully. "He wants to work on your arm. But if you're not feeling up for it right now, that's fine. We can do it later." Bucky hesitates, lifting his arm, his left arm, to run a hand through his hair again, but stops. "If it's hurting you again, Tony can help," Steve adds quietly, because Bucky fails to completely hide the slight wince as he drops his arm back into his lap. Bucky nods slowly.
Yeah, okay.
He agrees.
We can go.
Steve grins and rolls to his feet, holding out a hand to pull Bucky up as well.
Great,
he says, forcing a smile that is just a little too large, while he pointedly does not think about what he and Bucky had just been doing.
You're really gonna love Tony's workshop, Buck. That's where the robots are.
Welcome to the Playhouse, Tony declares loudly, spreading his hands wide as they enter the workshop.
Bucky stares.
Just as Steve predicted, Bucky is delighted by the workshop. Within minutes, Bucky's earlier breakdown is all but forgotten as he explores. Steve, trailing after them both while Tony gives the grand tour, feels a little bit like a parent following a kid around Disneyland, accompanied by the world's most enthusiastic park attendant. Bucky is immediately entranced by Dummy, Butterfingers, and you, while the bots appear equally entranced by Bucky's metal arm. It's actually pretty hilarious to watch the three bots crowd around Bucky, examining him curiously while he pokes back in fascination.
Eventually, Tony shoos the bots off and corrals Bucky into sitting on one of the stools, directing him to lay his left arm out on the adjacent work table. There's a brief, touchy moment when Tony opens the access panel on Bucky's forearm, and Bucky's whole body goes tense, a low growl issuing from his throat. Steve lurches forward quickly, putting a light hand on Bucky's flesh shoulder just in case, but Tony hardly misses a beat. He just starts rambling about electrical relays and kinetic conduction while casually stepping back to grab a few tools, as though that had been his intent all along. And by the time he moves back to hunch over Bucky's arm, Bucky has relaxed again, his eyes tracking Tony's every movement, but his shoulders loose and his breathing calm. And Tony doesn't stop talking. Tony talks in a way that only Tony can, a jumbled mess of techno-babble and pop culture references, interspersed with half-finished instructions to Jarvis and frequently off-kilter jokes. It's dizzying and amazing, and one of the things Steve has always loved most about Tony. This isn't the ramble Tony does for an audience. This isn't the show Tony puts on when he wants to prove he's smarter than everyone else in the room, or when he's trying to distract people from whatever he's really doing. This is the pure, genuine Tony. The Tony who talks because he loves talking, and because he is the smartest person in the room, but he isn't trying to show that off, he's just trying to share some of his knowledge. If there's one thing that Tony loves as much as his own brilliance, it's sharing his brilliance with someone who will appreciate it. It's almost startling when Steve realizes that Tony isn't talking to him. Steve has spent so many hours down in the workshop, sketching or checking over files, or just sitting and watching the show while Tony works and talks. Most of the time, he only understands about one-third of what Tony says, at best. But this time, Tony isn't talking at Steve. He is talking to Bucky. And Bucky is nodding along. Then Bucky asks something about circuitry and electric current, and Tony's enthusiasm ramps up by 10. Tony is talking faster than ever, and Bucky is listening avidly, regularly interrupting Tony's flow to ask another question, and Tony only gets more and more delighted with each one. Tony's fingers fly as fast as his mouth, flicking through holographic designs and digging around in Bucky's arm. Bucky keeps his eyes on Tony's face, too enraptured by the conversation to pay attention to whatever Tony is doing to the arm. There's nothing for Steve to do but sit and watch. It's mesmerizing, the way Tony moves, the glitter of excitement in Bucky's eyes. Steve's mind drifts, not actually paying attention to the words either of them are saying, but letting the flow of their voices wash over him. Their dark heads are bent together, Tony showing Bucky some piece of circuitry that he's about to install in the arm, explaining it with broad gestures and rapid words, and Bucky is smiling, wide enough to crinkle the corners of his deep blue eyes and to catch dazzlingly in the light.
Steve's stomach hits the floor like a free fall, as he has a moment of, "Dear Lord, I have a type." But his chest feels tight and full and warm in a way that actually makes it easier to breathe. And for the first time, he really, truly starts to think that maybe everything will finally truly be okay. Minutes, hours pass. Tony and Bucky don't seem to notice or care. Eventually, Steve quietly requests that Jarvis have some pizza sent down, and Steve goes to retrieve the food when it arrives, without disturbing the other two. Tony waves him off and mumbles something about almost being done when Steve returns with the pizzas and announces dinner time. Steve has learned better than to trust that, so he gives them 5 minutes before coming over and insistently taking the tiny screwdriver out of Tony's hands. "Dinner," Steve says firmly. "Go wash your hands." Tony grumbles, but closes the access panels on Bucky's arm and complies. They go quiet as they eat, and Steve would be tempted to believe Tony had talked himself out if he thought that was possible. But Bucky, sitting next to Steve on one of the couches set up in the corner of the workshop, starts slumping against Steve's shoulder 3 slices in. "Guess I wore him out," Tony observes quietly, watching from his favorite chair across from them. "It's been a long day," Steve points out, just as quietly. Carefully, he shifts, pulling his own shoulder out from under Bucky and easing him down so that he can lie comfortably stretched out across the couch. He pulls the half-eaten piece of pizza out of Bucky's fingers and tosses it back into the mostly empty box before grabbing the soft blanket folded over the back of the couch and tucking it gently around Bucky. Steve lets himself linger for just a moment, smoothing the hair away from Bucky's face and letting himself revel in the relief at how peaceful and relaxed Bucky looks, in the fact that Bucky is safe and home. Tony gets up, follows Steve without a fuss when Steve grabs the last pizza box and moves across the workshop so they can talk without waking Bucky up. Steve clears off a spot in the farthest workbench and pulls himself up onto it, letting his legs dangle as he sets the pizza box down within easy reach. Tony leans against the bench on the other side of the box, grabbing himself another slice. "Thanks," Steve says, quietly after a minute, "for what you're doing." Tony pauses, blinking with the pizza halfway to his mouth. "Fixing his arm?" he asks. "It's not exactly altruistic. Don't get me wrong, the Soviets and Hydra are all shitbags, but that is one hell of a piece of machinery. I mean..." "I don't mean that," Steve cuts him off. "Thanks for that too, but that's not what I meant." Steve lets Tony blink at him for a moment, and Steve can't help the slow smile that spreads across his face. "You're being nice," Steve clarifies, with no small amount of relish. "How dare you?" Tony growls in mock offense. He half turns away, stuffing the pizza into his mouth as though that can hide the chagrined look on his face. "I mean it," Steve insists, voice low and sincere, despite the small grin still on his lips. "I know you have every reason to hate him, or be jealous, at least." Steve pauses, biting his lip before continuing. "You didn't have to talk to him like that, or answer his questions. But you did, and that was really nice. He was having a lot of fun, I could tell. And that means a lot to me, that you did that." "Yeah, well," Tony grumbles, looking embarrassed and distinctly disgruntled about it. "He isn't, you know, totally awful, I guess. And at least the man knows how to recognize genius when it's standing in front of him." Steve laughs, and he can't help himself. He reaches out, pulling Tony over so that he can stand between Steve's legs. Steve lets his knees tighten against Tony's ribs, pinning him in place, and gently extricates the remains of the pizza from Tony's grasp.
"Thank you," he says again,
voice low with both sincerity and warmth, as he leans in to kiss Tony's grease-stained lips. Tony hums in wordless acknowledgement, leaning in to Steve's touch and opening his mouth all too happily. Tony's hands smooth absently up and down Steve's thighs, his head angled slightly upward to meet Steve's kiss. It's perfect, the way their bodies fit together, the slow slide of lips and tongue and breath.
Then everything falls apart all at once.
Tony's eyes, which he's kept open, flick to something behind Steve, and Tony starts to pull back. At the same time, Jarvis starts a warning.
"Sir..."
But before Jarvis can even finish the word, he's cut off by an unholy shriek. Instantly, Steve is whipping around, dislodging Tony from between his legs, though Tony is already pulling backwards anyway. For a second, all Steve sees is Dummy hovering in front of the couch where Bucky was sleeping, his claw outstretched as though to adjust the blanket. Just past Dummy, Steve can see Bucky jerking up, the shriek still coming from his lips, his eyes wide and horrified. Bucky tries to scramble away from Dummy and ends up throwing himself over the low arm of the couch. He lands hard, still scrambling, and his metal elbow collides with the glass front wall of the workshop. The wall shatters in a shower of glass and immediately sets off a blaring alarm. Steve launches himself over the workbench he's been sitting on, Tony only half a step behind him as they both rush forward. Tony is shouting instructions to Jarvis over the alarm, something about sealing off stairwells, but Steve isn't listening. His only focus is on getting to Bucky. Bucky hardly seems to notice the glass falling around him. He twists around, getting his feet under him, and starts pelting up the nearest set of stairs. By the time Steve reaches the bottom of the stairwell, Natasha, Clint, and Sam are standing at the top of the stairs, Bruce and Thor appearing presumably from Bruce's lab 1 floor further down, and Bucky has stopped somewhere midway up the stairs, his back pressed against the wall and his knees hugging up tight to his chest. Steve takes the first half of the stairs 3 steps at a time and stops in front of Bucky, careful not to touch him yet. Bucky's eyes are wide, darting frantically around, and his breath is coming in hard, sharp pants. "Bucky?" Steve asks cautiously, crouching down in front of Bucky.
"Steve,"
Bucky stutters, with something like relief.
"Where are we? What the hell was that thing?"
Steve frowns, glancing back toward the workshop. He can just see around the edge of the stairs. Dummy is still standing next to the couch, clutching the blanket in his claw and somehow looking as baffled and alarmed as a robotic arm is capable of looking.
It's okay, Buck,"
Steve tries to reassure him, reaching out to place a gentle hand on Bucky's shoulder. "We're still in the tower. You fell asleep in Tony's workshop. Don't you remember?" Bucky's eyes dart around again. His breathing hasn't calmed down at all, and now that Steve is touching him, he can feel the way Bucky is trembling.
"What? What's happening?"
Bucky asks in a small voice. His eyes flick up to Clint, Natasha, and Sam, then down to Thor, Tony, and Bruce.
"Who are these people? Where are we?"
Steve sits back on his heels. He can hear his own heartbeat still hammering in his ears, even though it feels like his heart has sunk right down to his toes.
"You don't remember," he says. And it isn't a question, because he's come to know that look on Bucky's face. He remembers it from the street in Brooklyn, from when Bucky had first awoken in the medbay.
Steve swallows hard and forces back the brewing maelstrom of his own feelings, because now is not the time.
"It's okay,"
he repeats again, squeezing Bucky's shoulder just a little and forcing Bucky to focus on him. "You're safe here. I'm gonna take care of you."